Welcome back to the Upper Tier Podcast. This is your Euro 2020 semi-final reactions and your final preview. Joining me tonight from Retrotainment, the dynamic duo. Greg, how we doing?
What's happening, man?
Good. Also jumping on, Ted. How we doing, Ted?
Not too bad. Not too good either, but not after that result.
Sure, look, we get into it anyway. Let's start last night, first of all, Italy versus Spain. Greg, what you thinking?
I thought Italy died an awful death yesterday. It's like their engine was gone. Spain really stepped it up though. If they had, even if Immobile was playing for Spain, I think they would have won that quite handily. But in saying that, the two centre backs for Italy are deadly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know one of them made a mistake for the goal, but it was the only thing he's done wrong in the whole tournament.
I was watching it and I was thinking, you know, Thiago barely comes on. It's nearly his first kick of a ball. It's nearly the penalty. Slots at home. And I'm thinking Morata steps up. And I know you flagged it. And you said, here we go.
Yeah, it's over now.
I was going, oh my God.
He was a model to miss. He didn't look confident walking down. I just knew it.
Have you ever seen a worse penalty from a guy who's regarded as one of the top centre forwards in Europe in terms of teams he plays with, moves he's had, and stuff like that? It's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
I think I've seen one worse, and it was Berbatov's in the FA Cup against Everton, where he just rolled it to the line.
Yeah, I don't even know if Berbatov had the same profile as Morata, though, did he?
I don't know, but Berbatov was lethal. That was the single worst penalty I've ever seen that hit the target was Berbatov's.
Ted, what was your thinking on last night?
I think Italy, they really missed Spinazzola. I think people thought that he had a good tournament and that he was doing okay, but I don't think they thought he meant as much to that team as he did. He's a huge part of that team, and without him, you could see the difference.
He's been their best player.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think a lot of their players have been very good. Like, Insigne's had a great tournament.
Chiesa's been amazing.
Yeah, like there's a lot of players on that Italy team that you wouldn't consider absolutely fantastic players, but they've made a name for themselves here, and I could see a few of them pushing a move somewhere if they're not already at big clubs. I'd say
Spinazzola was definitely going somewhere until he ruptured his Achilles.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah,
but like if I was him, I wouldn't stay playing under Jose at Roma. There's no chance.
He probably will this season because I don't think he'll get the move this season.
Oh, yeah, now he has to, but he's got to miss most of the season anyway.
Yeah, he is.
At least 6 months anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But I think defensively, Italy were nearly as solid as ever. They let in more shots from Spain than I thought they would. But Luis Enrique, he did go with a different lineup. He went with a younger, faster lineup to try and counteract the fact that, you know, as good as the two centre backs are, they are aging and they don't have the legs that these younger players have to make those runs. And I think that's what led to that goal. I think they've been run into the ground by these younger players. And then Morata was brought on, who I don't know how he's considered one of the top strikers. Like he has a decent record, but just he kind of needs, you know, 5 or 6 chances before he even hits the target, let alone scores.
Go ahead, Greg. Whatever you're saying there, Ted, you had the younger lads running at the centre-backs. If you're that good of a centre-back, you don't do a whole lot of running anyway. Yeah. And you see that with the two lads. The only running they seemed to do was to the edge of the 18-yard box to take a pass.
Yeah. You see them, they barely break a sweat. They're so clever.
I sent in the betting for the player of the tournament, and Chiellini's 12-1, but Bonucci's 25-1. Bonucci, for me, has been immense. I know Chiellini missed 3 games. But Bonucci's been fantastic.
Yeah. Neither of them will win it. It's the same as always. An attacking player will win player of the tournament.
Harry Kane's going to win it because he'll score in the final and tie the record. And he'll have scored 5 goals in 3 games.
Possibly, yeah. I'd be surprised if any defender wins it, to be honest. It's a very rare occasion when a defender wins it. Donnarumma, I think, has had a fantastic tournament as well.
Have you seen his gloves? There's like little spikes on his gloves.
Yeah,
it's real weird.
Yeah, it's like something out of Mad Max or something.
Have you seen the size of him? I couldn't believe how funny it was when when they were walking out for the second half, and Insigne walked out in front of him. I was like, that looks like, you know, this, some lads showed up at, you know, an under 10s game or something, and they've stuck him in net because he's just huge.
Do you know what's worse? He's only 22 or something, and he's either going to PSG on a free.
Yeah, that's it. That's complete madness. But
scary. But that's the Ronaldo effect. No team really wanted to touch him.
Yeah, they. He'll do well there, you know. And
he's going to win. He'll win 8 leagues in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Minimum.
At least.
Yeah.
Minimum.
But, like, yeah, I think Italy were the right, like, Italy deserved to go through there. But Morata, when he walked up, it was the same as when Mbappe stepped up for France. He stepped up and I just knew, I was like, not going in. That's a miss there.
Was it Duff that was on the commentary that said he's not going to score? No.
Yeah, you could see him stepping up. He didn't have the confidence in him. He was stepping up for it, and I was just like, "Nah,
he stared at where he was putting that ball. All the way down when the camera was on him, you could see he was looking bottom right.
Yeah,
and then he didn't put it there. Then he literally put it up the middle, just to the right of up the middle, nearly. It was the happiest save you'll ever see.
I have to give it to Jorginho. Like, I know that's how he always takes his penalties, and I get the reasoning behind it. You know, it fakes the keeper out, and then there's a likelihood that the keeper will step off his line. Is one thing, and the other thing is that the keeper will already have dived, and you can just go to the other side.
But it's amazing
to do that as the final kick of the game. Like, you know, if I score this, we win. We're true. If I miss it, I suppose it's not that big a deal if he misses it, because it'll just go to the next person. But
well, no, it is because it's sudden death then.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was sudden death with his penalty anyway, you know? It was sudden death as far as he was.
Yeah, but also Spain had got Morata out of the way, so there was some decent ballers probably coming up to play to take penalties. Can we say enough about Pedri? I think he's been outstanding.
He's been immense.
For me, he's probably been my player of the tournament. I just think he's been unbelievable. His play yesterday against Italy, he made a show of that midfield.
How is that young fella only 18 years of age? He plays like he's about 40.
Yeah.
His understanding again. Now, I know playing with Barcelona and you're playing with the likes of De Jong and things is going to help you, but his knowledge of the game and where to be, where to go was phenomenal yesterday. Yeah.
To be able to bring that play from Barcelona, where you have a high level of talent, and bring it into that Spanish side where you've kind of, I know Busquets is there as well, but he's kind of like, he's practically done at this stage, you know what I mean? And Thiago wasn't playing, and, you know, so.
I'd be surprised if Busquets lines out in the next game.
Yeah.
I'd say that's him done.
He'll probably come out for a bit just to, you know, to
send off.
Yeah, to say he played the game. But, Pedri, I think, he's winning young player of the tournament. I know there was a lot of talk about the likes of Phil Foden and stuff, but
he's been poor. He's been really poor.
Not even that he's been poor. He barely played.
No, but the first two games that he played in, he was terrible.
He's just kind of been left off since, you know. The other player Saka. Saka is one that I was going to say is probably the other young player that is in with a shout. I don't really know if there's any other real young players that have stood out the way those two have.
Isn't the young Italian left back or right back? He's only young as well, isn't he?
I don't know how young though. Is he as young as them?
No, he mightn't qualify actually. Di Lorenzo or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Spinazzola, I think, might qualify though. He's only 23 or something.
Yeah, I suppose the fact that he went out with the injury—that's the only thing, you know. Here we are. We're joined by the man himself, mid flow. How we doing? He's coming on now. He's just doing his audio. Welcome. How are we? Don't look happy at all. We're about to get into England, Denmark here, and now you're not going to be happy.
No.
Actually, your man Damsgaard could be another show.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He's only 20. He only turned 21 yesterday or something.
Yeah. Let's talk about England, Denmark, obviously, tonight. I thought the first half, I thought Denmark were really, really good. A full value for their draw, at least. They probably deserved a little bit more, I'd imagine. Second half, I thought they wilted a little bit. And then I thought when they lost, that chap you mentioned, Greg,
Damsgaard.
Yeah, and then I thought the big loss for me, I thought, was Delaney. He was an absolute engine for them.
Yeah.
I thought when he went off, it kind of just folded a little bit.
I thought he was fucking shocking tonight, to be honest with you, in the second half.
Delaney?
Yeah, it's just passes to absolutely nobody. I thought, like, for the first 5 minutes of the second half, they were grand, but it's one of the most soulless, fucking tootless performances I've seen from a team in the semi-final. To be honest with you, they were just fucking, they had nothing. Even for 3 minutes to go, they're literally jogging around at the back. Yeah, and I mean, they don't have the excuse of being more tired than England. England were running their bollocks off as well. They had subs. They just had no heart. They had absolutely no heart tonight. And although I think we're probably going to get into the penalty and all the corruption behind it all, but just as far as Denmark shooting themselves in the foot, they just didn't bring anything to the table after the first 10 minutes of the second half. The midfield, every time I was screaming, like Delaney, every time he got it, he was facing his own goal, not looking around behind him. There was two men on them every time. It was just, I thought... Dahlberg coming off, I thought, was a mistake too. I thought he held the ball up beautifully in the first half.
He looked bollocks coming off.
He did look bollocks, but in saying that, like the lads they brought on were fucking muck.
Paulson offered nothing.
Nothing. So I'd have kept the tired Dahlberg up there to at least hold the ball, because he had a little bit of, he had a decent touch, I think. But
he had a few nice ones, didn't he? Where he spun off and he picked off a couple of fouls.
Yeah. And I mean, he would have been the guy you'd have wanted to maybe run at Maguire with the frustration Maguire had. You know, I was like, nobody's even trying to run at Maguire and he's on a yellow here. Like, do you know what I mean?
Is he out of the final now? Because he was on a yellow going into this.
I think, do they not all get?
No, I think they get rescinded.
Yeah.
All right, that's
I think so. Yeah. That was a disgraceful yellow to get anyway. He shouldn't have got a yellow card for that. Two boys
elbow into the face. No,
it wasn't an elbow. It was his head. The two of them went up for the head just because he has a big slabby head on him.
I think you were watching a different game than me, but I saw the elbow going in.
He led with his arm, but like you can't jump. Yeah, just bring your arm up, like, you know. But still,
yeah.
Is it fair to say? Did the emotion of the tournament catch up with Denmark?
Yeah. They were out of it after halftime. I think once they conceded, it was deflated.
Didn't we touch on it on the last episode that maybe the quality of England would come through eventually?
But do you know what? Denmark actually, I was saying to I was watching the match with Rachel, like, and she's just getting into football, but I was saying, we knew that England were the quality team, the quality players, the individuals here. Like, but Denmark actually made England look better than they are. They really did.
They didn't help themselves at all. They really didn't.
I mean, either team that played last night would have destroyed either of those teams tonight with ease.
They would. But I think it's also Denmark had quite an easy run into this once they got out of their group stage.
So did England.
Yeah, I know. But that's my point. Like, Denmark got there not because they were a great team, but just because they had an easy run. It wasn't as if Denmark had ever been particularly great. Like, they beat Wales 4-0, but Wales aren't great.
I disagree with that, man. I really do. I mean, if we're calling England a great team and they've done great, you know, in this tournament, well, then we have to give Denmark props for...
No, but I'm not even saying that England have done all that well in this tournament.
Like, they lost, but I'd like to see England losing Harry Kane or someone like that. Do you know what I mean? The way Denmark lost their best player.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, Denmark could have been a bigger contender had Eriksen not, you know, had that tragic accident. Like, but the whole thing is that they've got this far because they were on the easy side of the bracket, so to say. Like, so I don't know that. Did they wilt under the pressure, or did it catch up to them, or was it just that, you know, they just hadn't really been challenged up until now?
I think they just bottled it tonight. I mean, the basics tonight they got wrong. I hear what you're saying, Ted, and you're not wrong. I just think I think the basics they got wrong tonight. I mean, they were second to every ball. Like I say, the midfield players there, like Delaney, on any other day, he's a better player than that. I mean, even that, just before he got taken off, he had a great opportunity. They had some big men in the box and he just hoofs it to absolutely no one. Like, they were very hit and hope tonight. Like, they looked League of Ireland, to be honest, tonight with some of the touches. I mean, simple little things like keeping the ball in possession and they were letting it go out for a throw-in. They were second to certain balls where, you know, especially the last 5 minutes, give it a fucking go, man. Do you know what I mean?
There's a final on the line.
Yeah.
The worst I've seen of it was just before the England goal, Denmark had a 3-on-2 break.
Yeah, that was
Højbjerg. Yeah, that's the worst thing he done all tournament.
Yes,
I agree.
Him playing in that role for Denmark is where Spurs should play him rather than sitting in front of the back four, because he looks like a donkey for Spurs.
I agree.
But that cross was dreadful. Like, hold it up, let someone come to you, or let someone make a move. But no, you give it back, and then they go straight up the other end.
I wouldn't say
Christensen going off was a big loss as well, because that young fella that came on for him, good lord, he looked really nervous, didn't he, on that right hand side?
I think they just don't have a bench. Like they never really had a bench at all. Like
You're right there. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is what England do have. Like England, for all their faults, like individual player wise, if they need to bring someone on, and you look at that bench, you're like, yeah, they have talent for days on that bench.
They made that midfield made Harry Maguire look like Paolo Maldini running from the back tonight, didn't they? He went on about 3 or 4 runs and not even a challenge.
That's a bit harsh now, because he's been doing that the whole tournament in the last 6 7
No, but season. What I'm saying is, Greg, there was no pressure on him. Like, he's not, like, let's be fair, Harry Maguire, let's be real, he's not Benucci. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And what I'm saying is, they made him look like Benucci tonight. That's not to take anything away from Harry Maguire. He definitely has been playing well and getting better. I'm not saying that. But you know what I mean? You would think that your midfield kind of enforcers are there to try and at least put a challenge in.
Well, I thought where they were playing, I know they played Højbjerg there all tournament. I thought he was the one that was going to set up the press.
Yeah, there was no press. Yeah,
there needed to be a huge press on the keeper.
He
could not kick a ball out.
That's the weakest part of that straight
into the throw-in line every time he got the ball. Kicked that up the field, straight out for a throw-in. Kicked that up the field, straight out for a throw-in. He was brutal. Someone should have been on him.
Coming for crosses, he didn't look great, didn't he? No? The punch and all that he had. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know he's your golden glove winner, don't you?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, then again, he's only conceded one goal in the whole tournament.
Well, our golden boot is someone scoring OGs, so, you know.
11 of them.
Absolutely. And you weren't on earlier. We discussed Italy and Spain. Probably not so much Spain, but your own team, Italy. I know you love Italy. last night wasn't overly flattering, really, but they got the job done. But taking that into the final, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, man, the confidence they got from winning that last night. I mean, look, they have players that are ice cool under pressure as well. Do you know what I mean? That Spain side would have destroyed either of those teams tonight. Like, and I mean, absolutely 3-0, 4-0, whatever you want.
Well, without Morata.
Without Morata, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you what, though, actually, and I forgot to touch on it when we were talking about it. Like, Spain really could have beaten Italy. Alazabal had two great chances.
They could have. It was one of those things. They could have, but I think that just shows the experience of the Italians, that they can get through rough teams like that. And I think,
but that's how you win tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest test I think they'll have all tournament. You know what I mean? Aside from the biggest test now that Italy will have on
is themselves.
Is actually the referees and VAR and UEFA.
The world is now relying on Italy to save us all.
Well, yeah, especially from VAR, because as far as I knew, I thought it was only the Super League that was corrupt. No, maybe I didn't get the memo. I don't know.
I touched on it last night with Ian on text. The absolute T-Rex balls on Jorginho for that penalty.
Do you know what? Like, I don't think there's enough respect for that man's name. I think since Tuchel's come in, he's found his role. He's been absolutely immense for us. And he's been immense for Italy in this tournament as well. And good Lord, I mean, I didn't doubt him taking the penalty. I didn't know what kind of run-up you're going to get when it was the little hop. But, like, literally, like, oh my God, it looked like something. I mean, Greg, that was definitely your number. I'd say you were all over that penalty, were you?
What do you mean?
I'd say you were just like taking fucking bail so much.
Yeah, it was tasty. Same as Thiago's.
Thiago's was beauty as well. Yeah.
I was thinking Mancini going, listen, that's okay, right? But please don't do that again because you're fucking aging here 10 years.
I think Morata, I have to touch on Morata for a bit, and you can see I'm smiling here. The fucking the bitch himself, like, you know, I have to leave Chelsea because my friends, my teammates don't talk to me. You know, the fans don't clap me enough. Oh my good lord, that lad should just.
It doesn't look like his Spanish teammates talk to him either.
Do you know what? He's one step forward, 20 steps back. Always has been. I mean, that was. As soon as he stepped up for that penalty, I went, oh my good lord, he thinks he's Didier Drogba or Van Nistelrooy now.
That ball that got fed into him on the side of the 18-yard box when he was broken through. Yeah. And remember he tried to do something with it and he just kicked it straight out of play.
He tried to run it by the defender.
Yeah, and he just kicked it straight out and never even moved, and I was thinking. And he had a chance to break in and actually score.
Then you get the little glimpses of the 7 goals a season he scores, you know what I mean? And he scores a beautiful finish, to be fair. Like, he done it against Liverpool last year with Atletico as well, remember? Yeah. Went through one-on-one, and you're like, Morata just scored.
I think the keeper made that easier for him.
He showed his strength.
I think Donnarumma was like, the normal shot that anyone's going to take is they're going to try and get past me on the far side, so I'll cover that. And yeah. I think it was smart from Morata to hold off his shot and then to pop it in the close post. But as I said earlier, like, he's the kind of player that you need to give 6 or 7 chances to before he'll even hit the target, let alone score a goal. Like, and that's the real problem with him.
Makes it even worse if Morata's outsmart
you,
doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I think, as far as, like, just to kind of allay any fears that people have, this is Italy, like, do you know what I mean? They are allowed one bad game in, what, fucking 2 years? and still come through it. Like, when the push comes to shove, they still got through it. And I'll tell you, they, you know, they have that extra day's rest now as well, for what it's worth. I think... their midfield, I mean, I think that midfield would destroy England. I really do, personally.
I think so. I think they'd be much smarter, much more technical. Yeah. But my worry in that midfield is Verratti. Like, that man left his feet about 600 times yesterday. He was diving in.
I don't think he's going to start with Verratti, personally, Greg.
He's 100% going to start. He has more of a chance of starting than Jorginho does.
No, and I'll tell you why, because I think that's why you rested Locatelli. Locatelli's been one of their key players as well, and he came on later. So I think you could see it possibly that he might throw a curveball. Now, it could be wrong, but I think he might, because...
I personally don't see it. I'd say he's the first name on that team sheet.
Well, he should be. He should be.
I'd say he's not, because I'd say the two centre backs are the.
Well, the two centre backs.
Yes, let's be real. Good show.
They don't even count as names. They're just
they're getting on no butter.
And the goalie, of course. Yeah. But
I think Ian might be right. I think Verratti might come on as a to shore up that midfield after they get ahead, because I think that's how confident he'll be going into that he'll score early, and then it'll be time to shore up because.
To me,
the only way England get past them is if Gareth Southgate changes his game plan and goes a more attacking midfield, and that means don't start two defensive midfielders, because if you just start two defensive midfielders and let Italy just come at you, they're just going to come at you, and they are eventually going to break you down.
Southgate ain't going to change that.
No, he won't. But that's my point. The only way he can is to go for it.
I think Ted is right, though, and I do think. And look, we'll see what happens. We'll agree to disagree on the Verratti thing. We could all be wrong here, and fucking none of them start. But I think with, you know, because I looked at Belotti, man, he's a Trojan to bring on. He's a bit of a nuisance as well, you know.
Oh, he's a dog, isn't he?
He's a fucking big boy. He actually reminds me of an old Gianluca Vialli, his physique was, you know, back in the day. He gets stuck in and chases back.
I actually have I was going through the Facebook memories there. Me and you were having a conversation. I put it up when Chelsea matched United's bid for Lukaku.
Yeah.
And you said, it'd be funny now. We won't get either of them. We'll have Belotti and Morata.
Yeah. We ended up with Morata.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell, man. That's mad when you think of it. Yeah. But Belotti's good. I love him, Mobley. I think his movement is fucking awesome.
He's not getting enough praise in that team, but that system doesn't fit him, though.
No,
I think that's the problem.
You can see it at Lazio. He's banging in goals because they're playing it for him. He's doing all the work for this one. He's pulling defenders out.
let's take a moment to just praise the fucking wingers. I'm even doing my little Italian thing here, like
Chiesa. What a player!
Insigne, man, oh my god, they are going to cause England some big problems. You might think you can have your Raheem Sterling. Yeah, he's going to cause problems. You can have whoever he goes with, Saku or.
I'd say it'd be Sancho. I'd say myself.
Or Sancho, yeah, but these two boys. Do you know what I mean? They will cause England all kinds of problems. It's actually an intriguing toy, to be fair. I think you're going to see, I'd say Southgate is going to fucking like be very cautious early on, because they know that. Because you looked at tonight, lads, I don't know, well, you definitely copped this. England look very vulnerable and nervy when they're on their counter-attack. And you've seen that in the first half, when they're under the pressure of a counter-attack. Yeah. And I mean, you're talking about the best counter-attacking side in the world, you know what I mean? Or one of them.
I wouldn't be surprised to see England start Henderson, Phillips and Rice.
Not a bad show.
Pack the midfield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Win the battle.
I don't know if it'll be Henderson, but hit like.
Well, he'd be the other defensive one.
I do see him going.
He's going to go that way. Yeah.
I think he is going to try and go big defensively. Possibly play Trippier as well somewhere, like play five at the back and then two is what I can see him doing. And I think that'll be to their detriment. I don't think that's a good idea for them. I think that just allows Italy to counter you and punch you down. Like,
and on top of that, it's very hard
to break Italy down once they do get ahead.
That certainly didn't work tonight for them when they changed.
No, and I was going to say, on top of that, like, you're looking at an Italian side, like, over the last few years, because we haven't had, like, the superstars, say, like, the Del Pieros and the Totti, like that, you know. Man, number 10 forever. Both of them were great, but Del Piero's my boy. They haven't had that now. Like, as good as Insigne is, it's not like that name is synonymous, do you know what I mean, with Italian football or anything, the way those names were. But what you're looking at with this Italian side is they're also very fucking creative and they're beautiful to watch on the ball. They're not just a counter-attacking team that sit and pack the fucking, you know, sit back. They play amazing football when you're allowed to. And that lad in senior, man, both feet, Jesus Christ, he's just like his dad. He is a quality little baller.
Chiesa.
Enrico Chiesa, Parma, back in the day.
Playing with Buffon, and then Buffon finished the season with his son.
Yeah, exactly. So, lads, I'm excited about it, and I honestly do think Italy will have too much. I think
they're too good defensively.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but, you know, England definitely deserve to be in the final on tonight, just albeit not through the method that they went with. But Raheem Sterling is a little prick anyway, so I just thought I'd lay that out.
I think Italy will do them, both because they're better defensively and but I think there's a unity in that English team, like, or in that Italian team, sorry, that nobody is, you know, the superstar. None of them feel like, I need to be the one to score. I need to be the one that, you know, gets my name up in lights, which you can see is part of the English squad. Like, certain players want to be the one with their names up in lights. They want to be the ones that are to score the goal. Like, you could see it there tonight. There was
Sterling not passing to Trippier at the end, even.
Yeah, and then there was one where the ball was coming in and Grealish was standing behind Kane and Kane just took it. Like, I don't know why Kane took that off his foot, because that's exactly where you want Jack Grealish striking that ball from.
That's going right into the corner. That's where that was going.
Yeah.
Did you see the one towards the end where Kane had the ball on the box and Sterling was in the box on his own and he turned the other way? He wouldn't play it into him. He's taking golden boot all the way.
He only needs one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see this, like, they want to be, like, each of them wants to have the individual trophies, whereas Italy don't seem to care about that at all. Like, they'll put the ball across the box rather than shoot it, just to make sure that the ball goes in the back of the net, sort of thing.
For all the fans, other than obviously Ted and Greg, but for all the non-United fans that hate Harry Maguire, can we take his name out of the equation for a minute? And just realise how unlikable that prick Harry Kane is. He's fucking, oh my God. He spends more time on his knees than some of the boards over in Amsterdam. Do you know what I mean?
He does, but in fairness, I think that the Danish lads tonight were lettering into him, weren't they, in fairness?
Ah, yeah, but come on. There was at least five occasions where he was down straight away. So, you know what? If he's going down anyway, then leave something in there. Being left in there, being on his knees that much, just saying.
That's coached in now. You do know that. that's coach.
Soon as you're touched, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh no, I understand that. I understand that. But when you hate the team more, it's even more. You know,
he's absolutely poxed to get to the rebound as well.
Yeah, he's a great player. No,
he was so unlucky. Keeper tried to smother it and keep it, didn't he? And it just came off.
He should have just parried it away.
I thought Schmeichel was fucking fantastic tonight.
He's been the keeper of the tournament. I don't care if that fucking Pickford won Golden Glove.
Schmeichel's been amazing. I think he did try to smother it. But I think he thought the ball was going to go further into the corner. So he's like, I'll smother it when it goes in the corner. And it actually didn't go as far as he wanted. So it kind of hit his midriff rather than his chest, which is where he wanted it. Yeah. And then because of that, it bounced out. I think the Danish defenders, all except one of them, seemed a little bit slow to react to that. Like they just expected it to go in and were willing to just wait there because none of them had left the edge of that box. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but like they still should have been in there. You know, they should have been expecting their keeper to make that save.
I don't agree with that. There's like even if they're awake and getting in, they're still never going to get near it. Kjær got within a yard of him probably.
Yeah, but even if they're not going to get near it, they should be getting ready to be in that box on the assumption that the keeper does save it and parries it out. Like you need to be awake to that because if your keeper saves that and parries it out a little bit further and you're not awake, it's still going to go in by another English player who's more awake.
If you're partying up the middle, you're never going to beat the penalty taker to it because he already has yards on you.
I know it did go slightly up. I know it kind of went up the middle there, but I'm saying if he parried that out even a little bit more to the left or right, the Danish defenders weren't alert to that. Like you could see it in them. They were too tired and they were just like, that's just going to go in. And it was just, they were resigned to the fact that it was going in. It's a terrible penalty to concede as well because
I'll tell you what,
if there is contact, and I don't think there really is any, but if there is any contact, it's basically just skin to skin, isn't it?
Yeah. I think if VAR reviewing it, there must have been contact. They must have had a look at it, you know what I mean? Now, even if it's slight, you know yourself, even if you're in full flow running on a pitch and someone even barely clips you, you'll kick yourself and go flying over, you know what I mean? It does happen, you know what I mean? And if there was no contact there, VAR would pick up on it.
I think it's very close, which is why they didn't overturn it because it wasn't like VAR said to him, you need to go have a look at that. He'd already given the penalty. So VAR just didn't feel there was enough to tell him, you're wrong.
I think 9 times out of 10 as football fans, don't we always say give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking player?
We always ask
for that. You know what I mean? So you can't always have it the other way when you want.
Well, it's not even that because now the attacker is getting zero advantage.
Yeah,
in most cases.
I don't know if you were watching it on RTE, but Ray Houghton turned around just before the penalty. And he said,
"I wanted to slap the head off Ray Houghton if I'd have got him on if he was beside me." He'd been wearing an English jersey.
I don't know how many great saves Peter Schmeichel made tonight, but he was fantastic.
I thought that was great. And then the other one was the other lad was like, "It's his son."
I thought just before the penalty he turned around, he said, these Danish lads look really tired. It's just like they're just thrown in a leg now, you know. They need to be careful.
Yeah.
Next thing, Sterling boots into the box and your man just barely clicks.
I'll tell you what, though. Vestergaard must feel harsh done by because he originally flicked the ball in that build-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just didn't get enough on it to take it away from him.
Yeah.
He was dead on his feet.
That's what I was going to say. He was causing a lot of fouls, like, before that as well. He was just completely gone, like, which just kept adding pressure. The referee was poor. I suppose it should be brought up. I thought when I first watched it and it was being played, I was like, is that a ball on the field? And then I was like, no, it can't be. It has to be a paper bag or something, and that's why they've just let play go on.
It was a ball though, yeah.
But it is, it's just a ball. Like when I was watching it as it was playing, I was like, oh, it must be a paper bag because you know the linesman's right there. The ref's right there, surely, and like all the players are right there.
I'll put my hand up. I never even seen it. I got a text off Mark.
I saw it, but I thought it was a bag. I just assumed it was a bag. Like,
yeah, I'm like Ted. I thought it might have been like maybe one of those beach balls or something stupid. You know what I mean? Something silly.
You had to bring up that beach ball, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, like when you sent it into the group chat, I actually thought you were talking about Foden's head.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah.
You know, I have to say, though, like, yeah, the referee was corruption to the levels tonight. I mean, we all know that there's gamesmanship and stuff like that. But I mean, when you think about it more and more, and I saw some great points on Twitter, it's like they need a full house on fucking Sunday. It was like,
yeah. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, there's likes of four or five players there had made four or five fouls, never got a card. There was no consistency to it.
Oh, no, but, like, any time an England player went down, it was fell. I think he gave an extra 40 seconds for England to finish an attack there at the end of the first half, or at the end of the second half. He actually ended the first half 10 seconds before 45. If
No. That's the RTE clock. It's done every single RTE game.
Fair enough.
Because I said that in one of the other games, and then I noticed it in every game. I was like, what?
That was the ghost of Bill Hurley messing with the time.
Should we leave it there, so?
Now,
I hold my hands up on that one, lads.
Okie dokie.
I'd wonder, though, like, if you were one of those Danish players, right, and you noticed that other ball on the pitch,
you'd stop.
I would just run over and boot that thing out of play and go, right, get the other ball back. Forget about that penalty. I'm after thinking that was the real ball and booted it out of play. And that's why he got by me. Sorry.
I'm saying, did anyone feel that the Danes weren't with it tonight? Like,
no, they were mentally tired as well.
Mentally tired. Like, I mean, if that had been the Italians or, like, say, the Spanish, they'd have fucking caused uproar.
You'd have just stopped. Every one of them would have just blankly stopped.
Yeah,
and then went, look at that.
I do appreciate that they played the whistle. You know, I do appreciate
that
they were like
supposed to do, but you're supposed to get an advantage from that.
But like when they complained, they went over and complained about, you know, that's not a penalty. We didn't touch them. They should have been going over and going,
there's another ball.
First of all, that's not a penalty, and second of all, what the fuck's that ball doing on this pitch?
Because 20 seconds off.
I'd say an English player went over and booted it off.
We look back at tomorrow and it was the Lions, but
if that was me and I my team had just won a penalty and I seen another ball on the field, I'd be going over and booting it as far away as I could.
German team, weren't they? I think you'll find that they might be related to the Windsors. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
They won't be ref in the final anyway.
Did anyone think the referee looked a little bit like John Travolta back in the day? just a tad.
Where was this game played? Was this Wembley. In Wembley? England have played one game outside of Wembley?
In Rome.
And the final is in Wembley.
Yeah.
Like,
joke.
I know it's kind of a random draw and stuff, but that doesn't seem particularly random. Nobody else got anything close to that. The FA are getting rewarded for their
anti fucking Super League behavior.
Let's get some predictions for the final, Greg.
Yes.
Italy. I'd say England might be lucky to score. Maybe Italy 2-1.
Italy 2-1. Ted.
Yeah, I think Italy 2-1 is probably going to be. I don't think Italy, as good as they are defensively, are going to be strong enough to keep out all of the attacking options that England do have, so I do see England getting something eventually, whether it's a scrappy goal or a shitty penalty or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think Italy will overall do them. I think it'll be 2-1, but it'll be from extra time. It won't be within the 90.
I'd love them to go to penalties.
I'd love to go to penalties in England, Butler. Yeah, I'd love that.
You'd love to see Donnarumma save the first three.
Yeah.
And just be like.
And Jorginho just stand with his back to goal and back heel it.
No, because he wouldn't take it then. If England missed the first three, he wouldn't be taking one.
He might tell whoever's next, fuck it, I'm up.
No, because you give your list of five to the ref.
Yeah, you have to. He is their fifth, you know.
He could run up and tell Donnarumma to jump in and say, listen, I just want to take one anyway.
just walk around there. I'll score anyway. It'd be grand.
Be all right.
Aim prediction.
Yeah, I had 2-1 in my head as well, to be honest with you. Again, I think exactly what Ted said. I don't think through any kind of amazing play from England. Now, it could be wrong and it could be a worldie, but I think you'll see something like a penalty given, like, you know, but 2-1. But I think in normal time, I think they'll finish it in the 90 this time.
God, I hope so. I can't do another late night.
Oh, man, I'm going to have a heart attack if I fucking do. Do you know what I mean?
This kills me to say this. You know, for the last couple of rounds, I've been saying it's coming.
It doesn't kill you to say it.
It does kill me to say it, honestly.
You're going with Jordan Henderson for the winner or something.
No, I'm not going with Jordan Henderson at all for the winner. I'd be lucky if we see Jordan Henderson on the pitch at all for the final. I'm going with England to win it. I don't know what the scoreline will be. I'm thinking 2-1, and I know it's crazy, but there's just I just feel there's just something about Southgate and about this team, and I don't know what it is, but I just think...
But there's nothing about the Italian team, no?
No, no, I'm not saying there's anything about the Italian team, but in any final, there's a winner and a loser, and I can't pick both.
Right. I'm recording this myself now so that I can make him...
Well, I called it the other night, didn't I, against Denmark as well?
You
I
have, to be
it,
fair.
Like, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, you called it, but... Yeah,
I just think with... you know, the press aren't going in on them. There's no infighting. Everyone seems to be working hard for each other. Southgate seems to be figuring out ways to get the job done without messing around too much. And
everything you're saying is exactly what Mancini's doing as well on that team. It's just because you see England more on Twitter.
No, it's not. It is, but I just can't pick both. So, and I've picked England up till now. So there's no.
I'm going to override Niall's decision. For his benefit, as the godfather of the VPN, and Noel goes Italy 2-1 as well.
I hope I'm on here on Sunday night and I'm totally wrong. I'm quite happy to see Italy win 4-0.
Well, you'd be 100 quid down if you're right.
Yeah, I know,
If for anyone that is planning on betting, everyone here has said 2-1, which means it's definitely not going to be 2-1 either way. So just don't put your money on 2-1 because this place has never gotten to.
We're not going to tell you what team to pick. Just go 3-1 instead.
If you're following us, put your money on Denmark.
Yeah. Because we are this podcast is notorious for predicting things. Oh, I think this will be full of goals, 0-0. This will be a 0-0 draw, 5-0. All right.
This is us teaching people never to gamble. Yeah.
In my defense, I pretty much got a good about a 90. I'd say it's high, almost close to 100% record because we have a thing in work where we have to predict the scores. But apparently, I've got all the results right, or most of them, maybe one wrong, but just not the fucking scores. So definitely don't take my scores on board.
So you got the right winners.
Got the right winners.
Right, so we got 3 years gone with Italy, and I'm still sticking with England because that's what I got to do.
Because you're a fucking.
But again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But look, I can't abandon.
I hope you're wrong too. Put it that way.
I do as well.
The reason I want you to be wrong is for the 30 years of hurt to get another song of 30 years of 30 years of hurt. That's what I'm waiting for. Is 2026 and 30 years of 30 years of hurt. That's what I want to hear.
Do you know what, in an ideal world, even though my little heart probably couldn't take it, I do love Greg's idea of England losing on penalties as well. It just sounds amazing.
Gareth Southgate to take the last one. Alright, all 22 players have taken their penalty, managers are up, here we go.
Oh yeah, Mancini versus and assistants, so you could get a You could get, what's his name? Fuck, he was with Chelsea.
Vieri? Or no, Viali?
No, with England's fucking team.
Hoddle?
I can't remember his name, though.
I don't even know who the England's...
He's gone that long from Chelsea, though. I can't even remember. But Viali and Mancini up against Southgate and his boy. I'm taking it every day of the week.
Well, the thing about it is, if Italy do knock the win on penalties, it's still... holds cool for it's coming home, doesn't it? Because it just means it's coming home back to the same thing it was before. It's still valid. The song isn't it, really?
The song's not valid anyway because they've never won the tournament.
Shout out to Casper as well. The best interview in the whole tournament. For
a legend.
That reporter didn't know what to say.
What did he say?
The reporter turned around to him and said, what do you think of this whole thing? It's coming home. And Casper said to him, has it ever come home? And he said, yeah, well, 66. And he goes, no, that's the World Cup. This is a totally different tournament. The reporter was just stumped.
Yeah.
Whereas Denmark have won it, so. Maybe it's coming home.
Denmark, the only team to win it without ever qualifying.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, lads, pleasure having you on. Thanks a million for the reaction and the preview for the final. We'll probably talk again on Sunday evening. Greg, I know you'll be texting in or messaging in or whatever, but... Good Lord, Italy. We'll
see. You might see the Dynamo hosting this one on Sunday if it goes wrong for Niall.
This is the last chance. No, I'll be here. Don't worry, I'll be here and I'll be happy to. But yeah, come on, Italy. This is our last chance, Leo. Till next time, Dynamo Podcast Network on YouTube for the videos, audio versions of the show, Spotify, Apple iTunes, all that good stuff. If you want to hit us up, it's @_upper_tier. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, let us know what your thoughts are. Drop them in the comments there. Lads, pleasure as always.
Come on, England.
Good luck.